This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and joining me in the studio this morning is Philip C. As usual, we are looking at markets. What's happening, Philip?
It's a mixed day in the US. Dow was down 0.4%, S&P down marginally 0.08%, while the Nasdaq was up 0.5%. Now, crossing over to the Pacific, Asia was also a bit mixed. Nikkei was up 0.3%, Hang Seng down 0.5%, Shanghai Composite up 0.2%, STI up 0.8%. And as we all know, yesterday, FBM KLCI was closed due to public holiday.
Yes. So, to find out where global markets are headed, we have Jack Kuzi on the line. Jack, are you there? Director of Strategy at VFS Group, by the way, in Sydney.
I am. Good morning and happy World Ocean Day to everybody out there.
Well, we do know Australians love the ocean very much, right? But anyway, let's talk very quickly about this G7 proposal of a global minimum tax rate of 15%. I want to know how this will impact your favorite stocks, Jack, like Amazon, Facebook, Apple. I mean, do you see earnings coming down?
I mean, we're still taking wind of it. I mean, whether it's going to happen or not is, I guess, the big question that markets are asking. And if you look at the reaction to big tech stocks, it really took it as a bit of a nothing burger. Look, I'm all for corporations paying more of their fair share. I think you're going to see a global trend there. Whether it's going to affect big tech stocks, I don't necessarily think so. I think it'll affect other stocks more. But honestly, it's a bit of a, I think it's just a bit of a news-driven cycle at the moment. And what its effect will be is still hard to say. But, you know, why not? I'm in favor generally of corporations who are making lots of money, giving back to communities and societies. But at the moment, this is more a headline rather than something we should take into account when we're looking at the big tech stocks in general.
And Jack, can we get your perspective, you know, in US markets and equities? Do you see any upcoming public listings in the US and China that are on your radar at the moment?
Yeah, there's a few that are coming up. I will concentrate on China, if you don't mind, only because it's a region of the world that I really do like. Didi is one that spots out to me that, you know, should IPO this year. The big one that I'm watching is Douyin, which other people would know as ByteDance, the makers of TikTok. I think that's going to be a massive IPO within China. It's most likely going to list on a US exchange. That's what I'm reading and hearing from what's going on. We're going to see a wave of IPOs coming out of China this year, in my opinion. JD Logistics is another one that stands out for me. And recently, we had the proposed listing of Sigmastar, which is a Chinese chip designer, which will most likely list on the K-Star market. So what we have seen is a bit of a downtime in new Chinese IPOs, and that's because I think regulators there have tried to keep a lid on what's going on there. You do have the emergence of the STAR Market, which was listed in late 2019, which is an innovation and science board for China. So you did see a wave of new IPO admissions, but they were then put on hold by the Chinese regulators. So I think it's hotting up. I will cite an article by CNBC a couple of months ago that said that there was a tidal wave of Chinese IPOs that were looking to list in US markets, about 60 companies that were waiting. So there's plenty of innovation going on in the mainland, plenty of money being raised and plenty of money being seeked. So I think you're going to see that really hot up in the second half as you start to see Chinese regulators really start to loosen the tightening of the belt on regulation there, particularly in Chinese tech, and also a limitation on liquidity, which we've seen in the first half of the year. So I think this is an area that you should watch in the second half of the year, and there'll be a lot coming on the market.
And Jack, do you think this is, everyone is rushing to the gate to list partially because the era of ultra low rates might be coming to an end?
Yeah, that's probably a good point. I mean, whether they're going to come to an end anytime soon is another question. We will see CPI data out of the world's largest economy this week, so it'll be interesting to see how that gauges. You are getting some mixed signals on inflation, and if you look at commodity prices, they are on their way down. And it's that big question that we've discussed on this show many times, whether inflation is transitory or whether it's here to stay. I think you are seeing a rush, you know, let's raise as much money as we can in these ultra low environments because the outlook is a bit unsure. But, you know, listing of companies is just a natural cycle of markets. And what we need to understand, particularly about the long-term trends of markets, is that there is continued innovation. There is continued the pushing of the barrier. There are continued, you know, intellectuals around the world, not just in the US and China, but around the world, constantly looking to make, you know, products, services, and the consumer life better. And that will mean that IPOs will exist, whether we're in a low interest rate environment or a high interest rate environment. So it's an important part of investing. It's an important part of a portfolio, and it will continue whether interest rates are at 4, 5, or 0% going forward.
You know, sticking to the reinvention theme, which is EVs, the mainland China EV market is exploding with the likes of NIO and SAIC taking market share from US players like Tesla. In your view, are there any companies in this sector that are of interest to you?
Yeah, I mean, if you asked me 6 months ago, and I think we did talk about it, and you asked me how I felt about China's EV market, I was a little bit bearish in that, you know, valuations and extensions had gotten too far. Now, what we saw since then was really a pullback in some of these firms. What you are seeing in local mainland China is you're seeing the government and the regulators around there start to favor their own companies. NIO is a perfect example. So they're receiving now EV credits, which is kind of what Tesla was receiving in the US market. In general, this is a market that we know is here to stay, and we know that's going to grow. I think when you're looking at it as an investor, you want to play both sides. And what I say about this is you want to play some of these new entrants, your SAICs, your XPENGs, your Li Motos, your NIOs, but you also want to get an element of the OEMs, so your old school manufacturers, you know, your Nissans, your Toyotas, et cetera, those that are coming into the market that have some, you know, natural advantages. But when I look at valuations right now, I think someone like a NIO I really favor, particularly with their battery technology. But whenever someone asks me about this industry, I always say the best way to play it is a broad-based ETF that will give you a natural selection across many entrants in this new industry, but certainly a sector. And I think mainland China will favor its own companies going forward, particularly domestically, which is part of that broader, you know, dual circulation policy we're seeing out of China.
And Jack, you know, COVID on the retreat in the US and their economy starting to reopen. So what's your outlook there for stay-at-home firm winners like Zoom and Netflix? Will they still have a captive market to hold on to?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a, you know, a broad selection here. So let's take a look at Zoom for a moment. You know, they reported only a week and a half ago, and the earnings were quite good. The report was quite good. But they did forecast that these meteoric growth numbers that they were having pre-COVID or during COVID are going to come to an end. But they're still going to grow at, you know, 20, 30% click. I think the challenge for Zoom is how do they take this broad user base that they have and this iconic brand name, and how do they branch into other services within their network? And they're starting to talk about, you know, an app store or similar to that. So we're not going to see amazing, you know, these blowout growth numbers from them, but we're still going to see very good numbers. And this is a great company here to stay. Now, that may see the share price go sideways and flag, but then if you look at something like a DocuSign, which reported only last week, which was a stay-at-home stock, this is a trend that's not only here to stay, signing documents digitally, but is actually growing in the numbers, and that was reflected. So I think the broad stay-at-home stroke that you had during the pandemic is no longer the way, but there are certain names within there that you can do really well in, and DocuSign is a perfect example. In terms of Netflix, if you want to ask me specifically about that, this was a great stock before the pandemic, a great stock during the pandemic, and another great stock after the pandemic. We talk about, you know, what has changed or trends, you know, streaming is here to stay, whether we're at home or not at home. So I think as an investor now, you've got to be more specific in the way you look at these companies and identify where their trends will continue to grow at the rate the market wants to see it. There's no doubt these trends will grow. It's just whether the rate the market is expecting it and whether it's going to reward it in the share price. What I will say, if I just can finish on that, I believe the end of the outperformance of something like the S&P 500 to the NASDAQ has come to an end. If you want my forecast for the second half of the year, the NASDAQ will outperform the S&P 500 and broader indexes, because I think the growth that we've counted or we've factored into these stocks with the reopening trade has already been factored in, and you want to go back to those high-flying names that have benefited and done really well over the last 3 to 5 years.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney, telling us that he expects for the second half of the year, the Nasdaq to outperform the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones. Well, we look at it, it's possible because the Nasdaq is only up 7% on the year-to-date basis, while the Dow Jones and S&P are all above 12% on the year-to-date basis. So he says, let's go back and look at all the high-flying tech stocks.
I sense a return back to his tech bull posture.
Yeah,
right.
Well, Jack has always been a tech bull, although there has been a lull in terms of their share price performance, maybe due to tax uncertainties, yeah. valuations, question marks, and of course, a move to cyclical stocks. Mm. But I think maybe he's right when you look at how well the broader indexes have done. But up next, we're going to look at some local headlines. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.